Good morning, and welcome to Holy Trinity's Good Friday Liturgy. We are aware that you are worshiping this morning in your homes, and we invite you to follow along with us in prayer book starting on page 565. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we beseech you graciously to behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Old Testament, Genesis 22, 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son, Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalter appointed for this morning is taken from Psalm 22, found in the Book of Common Prayer, page 292. We shall read this responsively by half verse. My God,
Why have you forsaken me?
And are so far from my cry and from the words of my complaint.
O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear.
In the night season also, but I find no rest.
But you remain holy.
Enthroned upon the praises of Israel.
Our fathers hoped in you.
They trusted in you, and you delivered them.
They called upon you, and were delivered.
They put their trust in you, and were not confounded.
But as for me, I am a worm, and no man.
Scorned by all, and the outcast of the people.
All those who see me laugh me to scorn.
They curl their lips and shake their heads, saying,
He trusted in God that he would deliver him.
Let him deliver him, if he will have him.
But you are he that took me out of my mother's womb.
You were my hope when I was yet upon my mother's breast.
I have been cast upon you ever since I was born.
You are my God, even from my mother's womb.
Oh, go not far from me, for trouble is near at hand.
And there is none to help me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
A reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 25. For since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, Behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered, for all time, a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him vinegar and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, take my words and speak with them. Take our minds and think with them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Jesus, while he hangs on the cross, is mocked, that is to say, verbally abused, by three groups of people who might be described as ignorant sinners, religious sinners, and condemned sinners. Jesus is condemned between two condemned sinners. The authorities deliberately staged it that way in order to humiliate Jesus in front of the crowd and to rank him publicly with acknowledged malefactors, kind of a guilt by association put down, as if to say, "See, birds of a feather." I don't think the Romans knew that they were thereby fulfilling the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He was numbered with the transgressors." But think about it. He loved to be numbered with the transgressors. The biggest complaint against him was, "This man eats and drinks with sinners." So there he is, between two robbers. One mocks to the end, the other repents and seeks favor. Late legend has been very busy with the penitent thief. He is called variously Dismas, Demas, Dumicus. One legend makes him a kind of Judean Robin Hood, who robbed from the rich to give to the poor. The loveliest legend, you can read about this in William Barclay's commentary, tells us how the Holy Family was attacked by robbers when they were fleeing from Bethlehem into Egypt. And Jesus was saved by the son of the captain of the robber band. The baby was so lovely that the young brigand couldn't bear to lay hands on him, but set him free and said, "Oh, most blessed of children, if there ever come a time for having mercy on me, then remember me and forget not this hour." That robber youth had saved baby Jesus, met him later on the cross, on Calvary, his companion in crucifixion. And this time, Jesus saved him. Now, I don't know if that legend is true. I seriously doubt it. But I do know this, that despite all the evil in that robber, which he had developed over the years, he at least had nevertheless had a capacity for mercy in his life, and therefore he could see the infinite capacity of mercy in Jesus. And therefore he prayed, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And that petition elicited this promise, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The word paradise is not a word from Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek or Latin. It's a Persian word. When the Jews went into exile for their 70 years, they came back with a dozen or so new words for their vocabulary, and the Persian word paradise was such a word. It means a walled garden. When a Persian king wished to do one of his subjects a great honor, he made him, and this was a title, a companion of the garden. It was more than immortality that Jesus promised the penitent thief. He promised him an honored place as a companion in the garden, in the courts of heaven. Surely this story tells us, above all, that it is never too late to turn to Jesus. There are other things of which we must say, the time for that is past. I have grown too old, too weary, too incapable. But we can never say that about turning to Jesus Christ. As long as a person's heart beats, the invitation of Christ still stands. Back in the 18th century, there was a robbery. A very promising young man who had committed a robbery was discovered, was escaping by horse, and in the course of that escape was thrown by the galloping horse, and when he hit the ground, broke his neck and died. And a Scottish poet commemorating that event wrote of this man, "Betwixt the stirrup and the ground, mercy I sought and mercy found." It is literally true that where there is life, there is hope. But please note, only one of those two repented. The other one mocked until the end. It's a dangerous thing to postpone your repentance for some deathbed conversion. That kind of thinking molds the mind. It shapes the disposition. It hardens the attitude of the robber who did not repent. It was a wise man who warned, "One repented that none might despair, but only one that none might presume." This is the time. This is the time to say in this moment of silence, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." There are many prayers for salvation. The Billy Graham Crusade has it. Campus Crusade for Christ has it. Many institutions have the salvation prayer. All of them are good. And this is as good as any. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It is the custom to conclude a homily or sermon with a prayer, and we're going to do that. But we're going to do it musically. We will sing those words, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This tune is from the Taizé community in France, which was founded after World War II as an ecumenical monastic community. And we're going to sing it. They produce many good songs. We'll sing it 5 times. One for each of the wounds of Christ, in the one hand, in the other hand, in the one foot, in the other foot, and in the side. And each one of those wounds proclaims, "I love you." And our response to that love is simply, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The tune's easy, and I think most of you will be able to sing it on the third or fourth time, and let us offer it not as simply a song, but as a prayer, our prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, remember me
When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom.
Dear people of God, our Heavenly Father sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that all who believe in him might be delivered from the power of sin and death and become heirs with him of everlasting life. We pray, therefore, for people everywhere according to their needs. Let us pray for the Holy Church throughout the world, that the Lord our God may preserve her in unity, peace, and safety, bringing into divine subjugation all powers and principalities, and that he may grant us to dwell in such peace and tranquility that we may show forth the glory of God. Almighty Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Fill up with all truth, in all truth, with all peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for Foley, our Archbishop, and Frank, our assisting bishop, that the Lord our God, who has appointed them to this office, may preserve them in health and safety for the governance of God's holy people. Almighty and everlasting God, whose judgment upholds all things both in heaven and on earth, as you have appointed these your servants to be our bishops, so also defend them by your mercy against all adversaries, that we, acknowledging you as the great shepherd and overseer of our souls, may so prosper by their care that we may bring forth from the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, and for all God's holy people. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, especially Holy Trinity, Bradley, our rector, our deacons, Jimmy, Chris, and Bubba, that in their vocation and ministry that they may truly and devoutly serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for Donald, our president, for Tate, our governor, and for all the mayors of the metro area, that they, knowing whose ministers they are, may above all things seek God's honor and glory, and that we, remembering whose authority they bear, may faithfully and obediently honor them in accordance with God's holy word. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and whose power is infinite, we commend our nation to you and your merciful care, that being guided by your providence, we may dwell secure in your peace. Grant to our president and to all in authority wisdom and strength to know and do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them ever mindful of their calling to serve this people in your fear. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for those who are preparing for holy baptism, especially Marley, Olivia, and Joanna, that the Lord our God may open their hearts to his grace and mercy, that by the washing of regeneration they may obtain the remission of all their sins and be found faithful servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty and everlasting God, you multiply your church in every generation. Grant the gifts of faith and understanding to those being instructed in your holy word, that being washed in the waters of baptism, they may be born again and numbered among your adopted children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray to God the Father Almighty that he would cleanse the world from all evil, deliver it from pestilence and famine, set free those who are in captivity, restore to the sick health, and bring those who travel to a haven of safety. We implore you in your mercy to stop the spread of this coronavirus, and we ask for healing for all infected by this scourge, that by your blessing upon them and upon those who minister to them with your healing gifts, that they may be restored to health of body and mind, according to your gracious will, and may give thanks to you and your holy church through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people, continue in our hospitals and research centers his gracious work among us, especially those ministering to people affected by the coronavirus. Console and heal the sick. Grant to the researchers, physicians, nurses, and assisting staff wisdom and skill, diligence and patience. Prosper their work, O Lord, and send down your blessing upon all who serve the suffering through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Gracious God, comfort of all who sorrow, the strength of all who suffer, let the cry of all those in misery and need come to you, that they may find your mercy present with them in all their afflictions. And give us, we pray, the strength to serve them for the sake of him who suffered for us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for all who are in heresy or schism, that the Lord our God may deliver them from all false doctrine and restore them to the faith and unity of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. O God of truth and love, who desires not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn from their wickedness and live, look with mercy on those who are deceived by the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that the hearts of those who have gone astray may be restored to wisdom and returned to the way of truth in the unity of your holy church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for the Jewish people, that the Lord our God may look graciously upon them and that they may come to know Jesus as the Messiah and as Lord of all. Almighty and everlasting God, you established your covenant with Abraham and his seed. Hear the prayers of your church, that the people through whom you brought blessing to the world may also receive the blessing of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for all of those who do not believe in Christ, that the Holy Spirit may enlighten them through the gospel and bring them into the way of salvation. Merciful God, creator of all the peoples of the earth and lover of souls, have compassion on all who do not know you as you are revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Let your gospel be preached with grace and power to those who have not heard it. Turn the hearts of those who resist and bring home to your fold those who have gone astray, that there may be one flock under one shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us commit ourselves to God and pray for the grace of a holy life, that with all who have died in the peace of Christ, and those whose faith is known to God alone, we may be accounted worthy to enter into the fullness of the joy of our Lord and receive the crown of life in the day of the resurrection. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery, by the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation, that the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to the perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Behold, the wood of the cross on which was hung the world's salvation.
O come, let us adore him.
We glory in your cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For by virtue of your cross, joy has come to the whole world. May God be merciful to us and bless us.
Show us the light of his countenance and come to us.
Let your ways be known upon the earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
We glory in your cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For by the virtue of your cross, joy has come to the whole world. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him.
If we endure, we shall also reign with him.
We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
All who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and seek to be reconciled with your neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker and judge of us all, we acknowledge and lament our many sins and offenses, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your righteous anger against us. We are deeply sorry for these our transgressions. The burden of them is more than we can bear. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may evermore serve and please you in the newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, whoever's great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we pray you to set your passion, cross, and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of our death. Give mercy and grace to the living, peace and rest to the dead, to your holy church unity and concord, and to us sinners everlasting life and glory. For with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.